Hallelujah. God is good. So I brought my little book along today. This is the one that Lexi got me for doing her wedding. Hope for Each Day. It's by Billy Graham. I have found that Billy Graham is full of a lot of wisdom. I've enjoyed this so much that, and I was looking, or Saturday morning, I was doing my dailies, and it was talking here, it says, prayer releases God's power. We're going to be talking about prayer today. I actually looked back through their messages, because I thought, well, it seems like I just preached recently on prayer. Well, it's been almost 2 years since I have preached on prayer, and since we've talked about it, and The verse that he uses here starting out is 1 Thessalonians 5:17, is pray without ceasing. So we can pray all the time. We can talk to God all day long. No matter what we're doing, no matter where we are, we can be in constant communication with the Father. And he wants to show us a little bit about that today and how we pray for one another, how our prayers move the hands of God. And so that's why it's so important that we spend time praying together. It says, how many times have you heard someone say, all I can do is pray? And he says, all I can do is pray? You might as well say to a starving man, all I can do is offer you food. Or to a sick person, all I can do is give you medicine so that it will make you well. Or to a poor child, all I can do is buy the toy you most want for your birthday. Prayer unlocks the doors of heaven and releases the power of God. James 4:2 says, you do not have because you do not ask. The Bible says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So, a lot of wisdom there. And he took me to Samuel again. You know, we talked about Samuel last week, and we're going to be in actually 1 Samuel today again. So let's go to prayer, and then we'll get started. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, that we have the opportunity to pray. Lord, that we can pray for one another daily, hourly, minute by minute. Lord, any time that you put someone on our hearts, we can pray. We can lift them up to you. And Father, we know, we've seen time after time, lives changed because of our prayers, because you did something that they needed. Father, we thank you for your love, for your care for us. And thank you, Lord, that we can pray for one another. So we just ask, Father, that as you minister today, Lord, that you'll give me the words to say. And Lord, that you'll give us ears to hear what you're saying to the church today. In Jesus' name, amen. So I titled the lesson today, I Can Pray. Instead of saying, all I can do is pray, get the mentality where you come and you say, I can pray. Here's this obstacle. I can remove it by prayer. I can pray. Let's go to 1 Samuel. So, as we talked about last week, Samuel is the one who's leading Israel now. He was just a lad last week when we talked about serving the Lord. And this week he's older. He's just about to the end of his life, actually. Where am I at? 12. 1 Samuel 12. And we're going to begin in verse 16. So Samuel grew up leading Israel, and they asked him for a king. I'm going to just do a little bit of background to get up to where we are in 12. The children of Israel asked Samuel for a king. They wanted a king like all the other nations, and he told them that that wasn't a very good idea, that they told him all the things that would happen if they got a king, how the king would take their men, put them in his army, and it's kind of just like it is today with how the United States does with our young people. They put them in service to the king. And God told him, go ahead and give them a king. That's what they want. He said, go ahead and give them a king. And so just before verse 12, he anointed Saul to be king over Israel. So they have their king now. And that's what's leading up to this chapter 12. And chapter 12 is Samuel's farewell speech, is how it's titled here in mine. It said, Samuel said to all Israel, I have listened to everything you said to me and have set a king over you. Now you have a king as your leader. As for me, I am old and gray. My sons are here with you. I have been your leader from my youth until this day. Here I stand. Testify against me in the presence of the Lord and his anointed. Whose ox have I taken? Whose donkey have I taken? Whom have I cheated? Whom have I oppressed? From whose hand have I accepted a bribe to make me shut my eyes? If I have done any of these things, I will make it right. You have not cheated or oppressed us, they replied. You have not taken anything from anyone's hand. Samuel said to them, the Lord is witness against you and also has anointed. Also his anointed is witness this day that you have not found anything in my hand. He is witness, they said. And Samuel said to the people, it is the Lord who appointed Moses and Aaron and brought your forefathers up out of Egypt. Now then, stand here, because I am going to confront you with evidence before the Lord as to all the righteous acts performed by the Lord for you and your fathers. So he's going to go in and make an account next here of all the things that God did for the children of Israel. He said, you know, God has taken care of you all this time, and yet you ask for a king. You ask for a man to lead you, a man to control you. And he's just trying to oppose a king, basically, to let them know God is your king. God is the one who is leading you, who is guiding you, taking care of you. And so he goes on there, and in verse 8 he says, after Jacob entered Egypt, let's start at 6. I think I missed that. Samuel said to the people, it is the Lord who appointed Moses and Aaron and brought your forefathers up out of Egypt. Now then, stand here, because I am going to confront you with evidence before the Lord as to all the righteous acts performed. After Jacob entered Egypt, they cried to the Lord for help. And the Lord sent Moses and Aaron, who brought your forefathers out of Egypt and settled them in this place. But they forgot the Lord their God, so he sold them into the hand of Sisera, the commander of the army of Hazar, and into the hands of the Philistines and the king of Moab, who fought against them. They cried out to the Lord and said, we have sinned. We have forsaken the Lord and served the Baals and the Ashtoreths. But now deliver us from the hands of our enemies, and we will serve you. Then the Lord sent Zerubbabel, or Gideon. He sent Barak and Jephthah and Samuel, and he delivered you from the hands of your enemies on every side, so that you live securely. But when you saw that Nahash, king of the Amorites, was moving against you, you said to me, no, we want a king to rule over us, even though the Lord our God was your king. Now here is the king you have chosen, the one you asked for. See, the Lord has set a king over you. If you fear the Lord and serve and obey him and do not rebel against his commands, if you And if both you and the king who reigns over you follow the Lord your God, good. That is good, he said. But if you do not obey the Lord, if you rebel against his commands, his hand will be against you, as it was against your fathers. Now then, stand still and see this great thing the Lord is about to do before your eyes. So he's telling them just to stand still, just to wait on the Lord, to watch and see what he does on your behalf. He says, is it not wheat harvest now? I will call upon the Lord to send thunder and rain, and you will realize what an evil thing you did in the eyes of the Lord when you asked for a king. Then Samuel called upon the Lord, and same day the Lord sent thunder and rain. So all the people stood in awe of the Lord and of Samuel. So Samuel was showing them what would happen when they called upon the Lord. So he just took time to pray. Said, Lord, send rain. Send thunder and rain. And God sent thunder and rain. We can trust him. We've learned over the years that we can trust God. He's trustworthy. So the people all said to Samuel, pray to the Lord your God for your servants so that we will not die. For we have added to all our other sins the evil of asking for a king. Do not be afraid, Samuel replied. You have done all this evil, yet do not turn away from the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. Do not turn away after useless idols. They can do you no good, nor can they rescue you because they are useless. For the sake of his great name, the Lord did not reject his people, because the Lord was pleased to make you his own. So Samuel's telling them after all this you've done, don't be afraid, because God forgives. God will forgive you for the evil that you've done. And he's pleased to make you his children, or his own children. He says, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by failing to pray for you. And that is my prayer today as well. Far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by failing to pray for you. We have the opportunity to pray for one another. So instead of saying, all I can do is pray, just say, I can pray. I have the opportunity to pray. I can pray for you. I went to visit Andy again this week, the beginning of the week, and I hadn't seen him for several weeks, and I told him when I started visiting, so maybe some of you don't know, Andy is my best friend from high school, and he's getting dementia. He doesn't remember things very well anymore, things that are recent. When I go to visit with him, we talk about all the things we did as youngsters. He remembers those well, but he doesn't remember what he did yesterday, or he can't remember how to get home. He can't drive anymore. He has to have Vicky drive him around. And so it was interesting to me, because when we were growing up, Andy's family wasn't church going. They weren't godly people. They weren't. But Andy was one of my best friends. We did a lot of things together. He actually got me my first job as a carpenter, and so we've done a lot in life together. And so when I heard that he was failing, why I decided to start visiting with him, and we were talking and about life, and I was just telling him some of the struggles that I was having with my health and stuff. I've developed some kind of an allergy or something in my lungs, where if I'm around mold or fiberglass insulation, I choke up and I can't hardly breathe. I have to use an inhaler to get my breath back. So I don't know. I guess it's kind of like asthma or something like that, where I can't breathe. And right as soon as I said it, Andy said, "I want to pray for you." Awesome. So he just stopped and bowed his head and he prayed for me. And I thought that was really awesome, because It was just God's way of showing me how quickly we can get relief if we go to the Lord in prayer. And that's why I love our prayer chain. So the prayer chain comes through. We don't get it, but Dora calls Patsy as soon as it comes through. She gives Patsy a call and lets us know what to pray for. And we stop what we're doing as soon as we get the call, and we pray for that individual. So if one of you has something on the prayer chain, it gets prayed for right away, and that's why it's so awesome. We've seen God move so mightily in church here because of you guys praying, and that's awesome. Prayer moves the hand of God. What did Billy say there? He said, praying unlocks the doors of heaven and releases the power of God. So that's what prayer does. It and verse 23, if you don't remember anything else today, remember that it's our duty to pray for one another. And Samuel says, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by failing to pray for you. So I take it very seriously to pray for you guys. I pray for our teens when they graduate. I usually get little cards that show their graduation party and invite us to come. And so I keep all those. I've got a whole packet of them home. I used to keep them in my Bible, and it got so heavy I had to start leaving it at home. But it's pretty thick. So I pray for our youth for 4 years while they're going to college. Most college programs are 4 years long. So the ones who graduated in 24, I'll pray for them until the 28, until they get out of college. Because I figure by then they'll have picked their mate. I pray for godly mates for all of your children. That is one of the most important decisions you'll make after choosing Jesus as Lord, is a godly mate. And so I pray for godly mates for all of your children. That's what grows the church, guys, is praying for one another, getting God's hand to move on your behalf. And I believe that's why the church has been successful since God told us to lead the church as elders. That's why it's been successful, because you guys are following the Lord's will. You guys are doing what He wants you to do, and that's awesome. Then He goes on, it says, and I will teach you the way that is good and right. But be sure to fear the Lord and serve Him faithfully with all your heart. Consider what great things He has done for you. Yet if you persist in doing evil, both you and your king will be swept away. So in class this morning, the youth are just studying discipleship right now, and we're doing the fruits of the Spirit in the last several weeks. Excuse me, this morning we did patience, kindness, and goodness. And we learned all the things that go along with that. And I tell you what, we've got a couple of really great girls. I had Delaney and Kate in Sunday school this morning. They're really the ones who I think got things started for the worship thing that's going on. They're the ones who have the youth group that's going here now, just doing a wonderful job in leading that. So remember to pray for them each day as they lead youth. These girls are really discipling is what they're doing. They're discipling other youth. So pray that the worship goes well, that people come, that people will want to worship, that people will want to support our youth. And just remember, it's not just for youth. I'm glad they allowed us seniors to come as well, because that's one of the things that I totally enjoy is worship. I just really love to be in a crowd of people who want to worship. Let's go over now to James chapter 2. I'm going to spend a little bit of time in the New Testament. I'm actually taking a little longer than I like to take this morning. Philippians 4:6 says, "Be anxious for nothing, but by prayer, supplication," I think it is. Huh? There you go. Got it memorized? Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And then over a couple pages to James. James chapter 5. And verses 13 to 20. James chapter 5, it says, "Is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up, and if he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore," he says, "confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective." It says Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Can you imagine having that much faith that we could pray for a drought and it would happen? Or that we could pray for rain, and God will give us the rain that we need. Thank the Lord for the area that we live in, because I see our crops look pretty good in this area. Patsy and I were in northwestern Ohio a couple weeks ago. The corn is curled up, seeking water. The yards are brown up there. It's really dry up in northwestern Ohio. Larry talked about a drought in the west. Out west is a drought. A lot of places there don't have enough water, but the Lord just keeps giving us rain here. And I thank the Lord for that, because the rain is what makes our crops grow. It's what keeps the corn and the beans going to make our cereals that we eat and some of the foods that we eat. It says, "My brothers, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring him back, remember this, whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save him from death and cover over a multitude of sin." And then Ephesians 5:18, I just want to finish up with that. Philippians 5:18. Wait a minute. There it is. And that isn't the one I'm looking for. It's one that talks about keep on praying for all the saints. So I got it written down wrong. Yeah, it's a good word. Let's start at 15. "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit and speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. You know what? I think it was 6:18, because 6:18 says, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints." Yeah, that's the one I want. I wrote it down wrong. So it's 6:18. So remember to pray for one another this week. And if, as we sing our final song today, if any of you have a prayer need, you'd like to come up for prayer while that's, I would love to pray with you. And the last paragraph in the, that Billy wrote here for us, it says, "And we are to let God know not only our needs, but also the needs of others." So often our prayers focus only on ourselves, but God wants to use us through our prayers to touch the lives of other people as well. For whom should you be praying today? So just remember to pray for one another. If He brings somebody to your mind, stop and pray for them when He brings them to your mind. A lot of times we eliminate a problem that's coming up because God has us pray. It's a spiritual battle, guys. Our spiritual life is a spiritual battle all the time. So prayer changes that. Let's sing.